Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about how the era of the occultation of the 12th divinely appointed Imam is a golden era. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are talking about how the era of the occultation of the 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is the age of a golden era. In order to talk a little bit about it, we decided to humbly invite Sheikh Hani Reza. So we invite him and start the talk show. Sheikh Hani, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. So it's an honor to have you on the Islamic Pulse talk show. Inshallah, I think we wanted to talk a little bit about how the era of the 12th Imam, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is this golden era. You know, sometimes there's misconceptions out there about the occultation. There's also various different interpretations or understandings. So along those lines, we wanted to invite you, and you know, we were discussing before the talk show how there are these kind of misunderstandings when it comes to the occultation. So we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma kulli waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abai fi hadhihi as-sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'a waliyan wa hafizan wa qa'idan wa nasiran wa dalilan wa aina hatta tuskinahu ardhaka taw'a wa tumattirahu fiha tawila. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. First of all, thank you so much for inviting me. And I would like to say salamu alaikum to all the viewers for whom Allah has destined to watch and listen to this video and this program, inshallah. See, the concept of Ghaybat or the concept of occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is such an important topic that the ulama, the scholars of religion, especially in the school of thought of Tashayyu, they believe that this is the most basic, or if I would like to say it like this, this is the alif of religion. Even though he is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, is the 12th Imam, this does not mean that, you know, this is a secondary topic and, you know, but no, this topic is such in an importance way that it directly relates to the prophets, to the 1,24,000 prophets, and to the imams, to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. You can't understand the Qasas al-Anbiya without understanding Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
The stories of the Anbiya, the Qasas al-Anbiya.
Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi, he says, there are more than 2,200 ayats and verses related to the Qasas al-Anbiya.
MashaAllah.
And in one of the narrations by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, all these Qasas and stories are for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
SubhanAllah.
Are for the ma'rifat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
SubhanAllah.
Yani, he says that if you want to understand the wujud and the existence of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, you need to start from the holy, from the stories of the Anbiya, from the Holy Quran. More than 2,200 verses, one-third of the Holy Quran, it's not a joke. Why is Allah narrating stories? So,
this alif of the religion.
This is the alif. Yani, from through Anbiya, we need to go and delve into the wujud of Imam Zamana alayhi salam. That's the real goal of these stories.
Yes.
Because there's a hadith that Imam Zamana alayhi salam, in his wujud, he has all the sunan of Anbiya. When he will come, inshaAllah, when he appears, he will manifest the sunnat of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam.
Prophet Moses,
yes. He will manifest
The sunnah.
The sunnat and the mawaris and the inheritance of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Of all the prophets, he has in his wujud, in his existence, all the ulum of Anbiya alayhi salam. So, when we read or when we, you know, ponder on one of the stories of the holy prophets of from these 1,24,000. From those stories, we need to, you know, shift from that story to Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Mm. Where is that message hidden in this story, which is related to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam?
Yeah, that connection.
That connection. We need to find that connection. So, now the thing is, you are asking about the concept of Ghaibat, or the concept of occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. See, before I deep dive into that concept from the ayat and riwayat and ahadith, I just want to make one point over here.
Sure, yeah.
One of our basic problems in studying religion, not only the students, but also the those people who are not, you know, in the hawza, not in the madrasa. Because, you know, alhamdulillah, in today's times, because of the events of Akhirah Zaman, now there are many people who are trying to research into religion, especially into the maktab of tashayyu.
Right, right.
But there's an, you know, mishap, or if I would say, there's some incompleteness when we try to research. What is that? We don't research. When we research on the Holy Quran and the verses we ponder, but we don't, you know, deep dive into the ahadith. For example, we have Usul al-Kafi, right?
Sure.
In Usul al-Kafi, which is one of the main books of Kutub al-Arba, the first one of those, you have 16,000 ahadith. Okay?
16,000
ahadith.
Compilation of Shaykh.
Then you have one of those Jawami Rivai, which is called Biharul Anwar.
Yes.
110 volumes. Now in Bihar, there's a whole bab on Ghaibat, occultation of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. The same goes for Al-Kafi and other books. In one of the ahadith of Al-Kafi, and also in Bihar also, there's a concept which we, you know, when we read those ahadith, the concept which Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and Imam Baqir alayhi salam wanted to focus was on the concept of imamat.
Sure.
Because imamat, the concept of imamat was deviated after the death of the Holy Prophet.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, it faced that deviation. Because of which, at the time of Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that this is a whole long topic. We need like a number of sessions. That what were those strategies of Imam Baqir alayhi salam and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in promoting and preaching the concept of imamat? They had a specific and defined strategy to promote and to preach the concept of imamat. In that concept of imamat, there's a subtopic called Mahdaviyat, and in Mahdaviyat there's a subtopic called the Ghaibat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Now if you read Bihar, if you read Al-Kafi and other books of ahadith in Maktab al-Tashayyu, you'll find a number of ahadiths focusing on the Ghaibat of Imam.
Interesting.
There's a question, right? Why Imam? Now, Imam Baqir alayhi salam is physically present. So why is he focusing on Ghaibat now?
Right.
There's a hadith, there's a story now of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Just imagine. I'll just, you know, shorten this and we'll try to move on to the real topic. Now, this is a muqadma for that real topic which you asked. Imam Baqir alayhi salam, he, along with his companion Abu Basir, he goes to the masjid in Medina, and he doesn't enter the masjid. He's just outside the masjid, and the people, you know, are coming out. They are free from the prayers, and everyone is coming out one by one. Imam Baqir alayhi salam, he tells to Abu Basir, "Oh Abu Basir, go and ask all these people or any one of them. What do I ask? Ask them, can you see Baqir?" Abu Basir was, you know, shocked. Why? Everyone can see you. Everyone can see you. No, you go and ask. So Abu Basir, he, you know, he just catches one person and says, "Can you see Imam Baqir?" He says, "No, I can't see Imam Baqir. Where is he? He's not here."
Yeah, strange.
Abu Basir was shocked. He comes to
Imam Baqir was right in front of the individuals.
He was right in front, in the public. Abu Basir comes to Imam and he says, he, you know, narrates the story, no, he can't see you. There's a person coming out of the masjid, his name is Abu Harun al-Makfuf. He could not see. He was blind.
Interesting.
And he was an old person. He was like 80, 90 years old. Mm. Imam Bakr says, Abu Basir, now go ask Abu Harun al-Makfuf the same question.
Can you see Imam Bakr?
Yes. So he goes and asks, can you see Imam Bakr? Abu Harun al-Makfuf says, what question are you asking me? You can't see this noor spread over the universe?
Yeah. The only thing I can see is Imam Bakr.
Is Imam Bakr alayhi salam. So Imam Bakr alayhi salam over here is trying to, you know, contemplate. He's trying to define for Abu Basir the concept of Ghaibat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Very interesting.
Okay, now this is one story. Now I need to delve into that concept which you were asking in your question. So the first point was that there is a, you know, ultimate, absolute focus of the Imams through their ahadith on the concept of Ghaibat. Now, I will narrate to you two to three riwayat. Because we want to, you know, because the riwayat and ahadith, our Ustad, he says that these ahadith, in fact, when you read, you just don't think that this is, these are just words and sentences. No. These ahadith are the kalam of Imam.
Yeah, it changes
now,
your perspective.
Since the wujud of Imam is Noor, this kalam is also Noor.
Yeah.
You, with these ahadith, when you read, you are being connected with that Nuraniyat of Imam Sadiq, of Imam Bakr, alayhimus salam.
As with the Quran, you are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, the same concept. Now, there's a hadith in Kamaluddin wa Tamamun Ni'mah of Sheikh Saddoq, rahmatullah alayh. This hadith is from the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And this is Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari narrating. Jabir, he asks the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, walil qa'imi min wuldika ghayba, does the qa'im, which is from your progeny, does he has Ghaibat, occultation? Now here the Holy Prophet says, "E wa Rabbi, yes, he has that occultation." Now I'm skipping some of the parts and I want to focus on this sentence. He says, "Ya Jabir, inna hadhal amr amrun min amrillah." This amr of the Ghaibat of Imam Zaman is from the amr of Allah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now there's a question over here. Why is the Holy Prophet calling the Ghaibat or naming the Ghaibat of Imam Zaman as the Amr of Allah? Now, inshallah, that I will answer through the next ahadith. Then he says, the Holy Prophet, Wasirru min sirrillah. The occultation is a secret of Allah. Allah has many secrets. This is one of those secrets.
Subhanallah, yeah.
Now, in order to elaborate this secret and this Amr, let's ask Imam Sadiq alayhi salam over here. As I said, there are a number of ahadith defining Ghaibat, elaborating this concept. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Inna lisahibi hadhal amr ghaibatun. Verily, this Imam, he has a ghaibat la buddha minha. What do you mean by la buddha minha? This has to occur. Ghaibat has to occur.
Yeah.
You don't have any choice.
Yeah.
It has to occur. Then he says, Inna hadhal amr amrun min amrillahi ta'ala wa sirrun min sirrillah wa ghaibun min ghaibillah. Ghaibat, occultation, is from the ghaib of Allah.
The unseen of Allah.
Now what do you mean by ghaib of Allah over here? On the other side, the Holy Prophet says this is the amr of Allah. There's an ayat of the in the Holy Quran, Allah, lahul khalq wal amr. You have one khalq, which is this physical system. The bodily nizam and system of this world. There's one more system. There's one more realm. which is the alam-e amr, which you cannot see with your eyes.
Sure. Yeah.
In other terms, there's one more ayat, alamul, alamul ghaybi wa shahada. Alamul shahada is this alam-e khalq, this physical realm. And alamul ghayb is this unseen world.
The unseen world, yeah.
Okay. Now, Imam is saying, amrum min amrillah. Amr in this hadith is that same unseen world. He's saying that, you know, this ghaybat of Imam Zamana is not from, is its reality is not from this physical world.
Sure.
It's connected with that unseen world. Yeah, the unseen universe, which is called Alamul Ghaybi, Alamul Ghayb.
Yes.
Now, over here Imam says, La Buddha Minha, this has to happen. Why? Let's ask another hadith, okay? From Sadir Sayrafi, and he asks Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. Over here, Imam alayhi salam, he opens that secret.
That's several.
The one dimension of that philosophy, I would say, in this way, okay? He says, Antajriya, this gaybat, Antajriya fihi sunanul anbiya'i alayhimus salam fi ghayabatihim. Wa innahu la buddha lahu. The gaybat and occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is in fact the same sunnah of Allah, which was, if I would say, if I had that correct term, which Allah implemented in the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salam.
Right.
Now, if you go to and research, read the book of Kamaluddin wa Tamamu Ni'ma, just see the index. There's a chapter in Kamaluddin, Babu Ghayabatil Anbiya.
Interesting.
The chapter of the Ghayabat of Anbiya, occultations of Anbiya. Then in those chapters, you have the Ghaybat of Hazrat Idris, Ghaybat of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Saleh, Hazrat Ibrahim, Hazrat Yusuf, Hazrat Musa, Hazrat Isa, and until the end. All these Anbiya were in Ghaybat in some, in any time.
At one
in point. Any, in time. Some occasions, at some points of their lives. There's a hadith that, you know, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he went to occultation for 3 to 4 times. Between Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, there was a period of 1,500 years. Okay? The Janashin and the representative and the wasi of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was Hazrat Shais alayhi salam. Now, from the time of Hazrat Shays alayhi salam, before the time, before the zuhur of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, there were around, in these 1500 years, there were around 14 to 10 Anbiya. 10 prophets, they were, you know, sent by the Almighty for the hidayat and guidance of the people. There's a riwayat that says these 10 or 12 Anbiya, they were in hiding. They were in Ghaybat.
In occultation.
They are called Anbiya Mustakhfin. They were
hidden,
always in occultation. Including Shaykh alayhi salam. So with this,
so this is a sunnah of Allah.
Now, over here Imam alayhi salam is using the word sunnat. This is a sunnat of Anbiya, all the Anbiya which will be implemented in the life of Imam Zamana alayhi salam. And this is la buddha law, this has to happen. So ghaybat has to happen, no matter what. Now, what do we mean by no matter what? If Imam Ali alayhi salam, he had, you know, the event of Saqifa and all these were, you know, they had not occurred, for example. Imam Ali alayhi salam would have governed for like 200 years. And then he would, you know, pass this hukumat and governance to Imam Hassan alayhi salam. All the imams from Imam Ali until Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam, they would have governed the people for like 1,000 years. They would not have been oppressed by the people. Just imagine this. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, then again, Imam Zaman alayhi salam has to go into occultation. He has to go into occultation. Why? Because this is the sunnat of the holy of Allah implemented into the lives of the Anbiya, and it's a sunnah ila yawm al-qiyamah.
And it's a amrullah and a sirrullah as well.
Yes, and a sir. Now, what is this sunnah? Why? Why Khuda? Why Allah? We need to ask. Why? What is the philosophy of this?
Yeah, what's the purpose?
Inshallah, we'll talk about this, inshallah, in the later sessions or in this session if we are able to. Now, there's a, you know, hadith in which, you know, the Imam alayhi salam, you know, because we have so many ziyarat namas and all these we recite on, you know, on some a few occasions. In one of those texts and mutun, we say like this. We have been told by the Imams to say this, these sentences. Amantu bisirri. Saddaqtum bighaybi. Okay. I bring faith on this secret.
Yes, the sir.
Okay. On this sir. Saddaqtum bighaybi.
And the truthfulness.
And the truthfulness of this ghaybat.
Of your ghaybat.
Now, if you have any questions over here, you can ask me, you can interrupt me. I don't have any issues.
I'm waiting for the opportune time to interrupt.
Okay, inshallah, inshallah. So, now with this in mind, I would like to quote one more hadith, if you allow me, inshallah. Qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In this hadith, which is a very long hadith, I will just quote two or three bits from this. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he expresses his shauq, his ishtiyaq, his, you know, his desire and eagerness to meet those people living in the time of ghaybat. So now see this, you know, see the...
And it's like you said, these aren't just mere words.
These are not complimentary sentences over here.
Formality or something.
No, these are the haqa'iq of the alam-e-taqween, of this universe.
These realities and these truths.
Nabi Akram, he says, the Holy Prophet, shawqan ila ikhwani min ba'di. I want to meet my brothers. I'm eager to meet my brothers who will come after me. Now, when he says this, فَقَالَ أَبُو زَرْ Abu Zar said, Ya Rasulullah, أَلَسْنَا إِخْوَانَكْ Are we not your brothers? قَالَ لَا أَنْتُمْ أَصْحَابِي No, you are not my brother. You are only my companions. So, where are my brothers? وَإِخْوَانِي يَجِئُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ شَأْنُهُمْ شَأْنُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ Now, over here, Nabi, the Holy Prophet, he defines the qualities of my brothers who will come in the time of ghaybat. Then, after a few sentences, he says, "Ah, shawqan ilayhim."
He, because you said the that part of the tradition, he said that my brothers are those that have the characteristics or the qualities of the anbiya.
Anbiya, sha'nuhum sha'nul anbiya. Yes,
yes, the honor and the esteem.
They are the manifestation of some of the qualities of anbiya. My brothers who will come in akhiruz zaman. Okay, it's the ummat in akhiruz zaman.
In Farsi, they say khayli harfe.
Khayli
harfe. It's a very profound thing.
So this is something different over which is being defined in the ahadith about ghaybat. Compared to that which we have in our minds now. Now, then again, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Abu Zar, O Abu Zar, inni ilayhim lamushtaqun. I'm eager to meet them. ثُمَّ غَمَّذَ عَيْنَيْهِ وَبَكَى شَوْقًا Then he wiped his eyes and he started to cry and cry and cry.
Out of this desire.
Then he prays. Yearning. Then he prays for those who are in Akhir Zaman. Allahumma. Allahumma ihfadhum. Wansurhum ala man khalafa alayhim. And ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun.
May Allah help them and may Allah support them, protect them. From those that are their enemies.
So this is.
Do you have the tradition where it talks a little bit about the qualities of these brothers or companions?
There are many. There are many hadiths over here. There are many hadiths. This hadith itself, you know, is talking about the qualities. Of the companions, of because before we move into the qualities of those people living in the ghaybat, let's first understand the quality of ghaybat. The time of ghaybat, is it a punishment?
As some people say, you know, it's a musiba, it's a punishment.
Or
it's
is it a reward?
Yeah, this is a disaster.
Or as the topic says, it is a golden era.
As a golden era,
okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what we need to see from the hadith. And then we can move on from that to the qualities of the companions of Imam Zamana alayhi salam living in this time. Because 2024, this is the time of Ghaibat, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Nabi
yeah.
Akram, the Holy Prophet, is talking about this time, okay? So over here, there's one more hadith which talks about the time of Ghaibat. What is this occultation period like? Now, I would like everyone to pay attention to this because this is, you know, something different over here, which is being defined. An al-Mufazzal ibn Umar, an Abi Abdullah Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, أقرب ما يكون العباد من الله جل ذكره. That time in which the bandagan, the people, the servants of Allah, the followers of the religion of Islam, will be the most near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
What is that time? Second, وَأَرْضَ مَا يَكُونُ عَنْهُمْ. And they are always, you know, they always accept anything which happens to them in their lives. Any bala which occurs for them, any ni'mat with which they are blessed with. They are always, you know,
they have this contentment.
Contentment all the time.
This rida.
So the most, that time which the people have the most contentment. And that time in which the people are the most near to Allah. When is that time? Imam says, إِذَا افْتَقَدُوا حُجَّةَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. When their hujjat is disappeared from their eyes. Okay? وَلَمْ يَظْهَرْ لَهُمْ. He's on in front of them. وَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا مَكَانَ. The people don't know where his location is. وَهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ لَمْ تَبْطُلْ حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ. And they know that the hujjat of Allah is there. He's living. It's not that he will, you know, according, for example, to the aqaid of the brothers of Ahl al-Sunnah, he will, come afterwards. No, it's not like that. فَعِنْدَهَا فَتَوَكَّعُ الْفَرَجْ سَبَاحًا وَمَسَى. This is that time, the Ghaibat, in which the Faraj will appear and occur for the people. سَبَاحًا وَمَسَى, day and night. فَإِنَّ أَشَدَّ مَا يَكُونُ غَضَبُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ أَعْدَائِهِ إِذَا افْتَقَدُوا حُجَّتَهُ. That time in which, in that period in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his, you know, ghazab, shows his punishment for the, you know, for his enemies, is aftaqadu hujjata, when the hujjat of Allah is disappeared. That is the most severe time of punishment for the enemies of Allah.
You know, I mean, it just seems opposite to what you would, what you would think, right? So, the common understanding is really baraks. I don't know if you want to kind of take a break and discuss this a little bit, you know, this idea that normally we think that this time of occultation, like you said, you know, is a punishment, is a problem, it is for the believers, and it is a moment of respite for the enemies of Allah. But here we are starting to understand the opposite, that no, this is severe for the enemies of Allah, and it is a golden opportunity
for the believers.
Yeah.
What I'm understanding from your point, if I want to just, you know, summarize sentence, is that all these ahadith should have been, you know, for Zuhur. After the Imam appears, not before the Imam appears. That's a question, right? Why is this the opposite? See, that's the problem. We need to understand, first of all, the concept of, since our concept of insan is incomplete, we don't know who we are, what is our spiritual history, and where we need to go, and where we have been sent to, Since this concept is incomplete, that is why we are not able to. That was there's something upside down in our minds about the ghaybat of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. We think that this physical world is the reality.
Sure.
Especially because of, you know, of the last 20, 30 years, because of the, you know, occurrence of technology technological development and our habituation towards technology, which results into our mind being materialized.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have been habituated with the system of physicality. And unconsciously, we are thinking this is the real world. Let me give you an example. 50 years ago, when there was no mobile phones, and, you know, even a landline phone would have been difficult for a family to, you know, afford, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
Just imagine, and we have seen what the example which I'm giving. We have seen this example is like, you know, those movies which, you know, used to be produced like 30 years ago. There's a mother, her son, he wants to study, you know. For example, that mother is living in Pakistan and her son decides to study abroad, like in America or any other part of the world.
France, UK.
Yeah, okay. So
definitely not India, huh?
No, anywhere, okay.
I'm just kidding.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere. So now this son, okay, now separation of the mother from the son is not an easy thing.
Sure.
Yeah. A mother cannot separate herself from her son. It's not easy. So when this son, he goes, okay, like for 2 years, 3 years, in that 2-3 years period of studying over there abroad, his son, he gets an accident. He faces an accident and he gets, you know, injured and he's in the hospital. This mother, now there's no telephone or social media, WhatsApp or something report to this mother that your son is in the hospital.
Yeah.
But this mother knows there's some problem with my son.
Yeah, she senses it.
She senses something. No one has told her, right? How is she sensing? This sensing is that low level of alam-e-gaib. Because this mother is not habitual, you know, with materialistic things and technology. She's not so, you know, habitual with that. That is why she is a bit connected with that realm of the gaib, of the unseen. But, you know, the mothers of today, they don't sense anything, right? They don't sense anything.
Yeah, the,
unless, you know, their mobile phone doesn't ring.
Yeah, the mothers and fathers both.
Both.
The kid falls in front of them and they don't even know.
Yeah, they're texting each other.
Yeah. Who's going to pick up the baby?
Yeah. So this is a problem.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying
and
to
this
say.
This is why our perception is upside down.
Yes, this is why. Especially in the recent 40 years. So what I'm trying to say here.
Even though it makes sense, right? I was kind of trying to not put forth my own answer, before your answer. But it seems like, of course, this era for the believers, you know, we talked a little bit about the qualities of these brothers that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi spoke about, right?
Yes.
And what honorable people they are and what beautiful individuals they are. These people have been... They are a result of this ghaiba, right?
Yes.
So this is the positive sides of the believers or for the believers. It's a testing ground for them to be able to reach a certain kamal.
Yes, exactly.
And I want to say it for the enemies of Allah, you know, sometimes we think that that respite, you know, especially with Palestine, for example, if we keep it very real.
Yes.
You know, we see all these people dying and we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has just left these enemies of Allah and these people free hand to do everything, you know. But the reality is that free hand that respite, it only adds to the sins of these individuals. And it takes them farther down this path of destruction and death.
That is why the maqsad and the goal of insan is to reach to the highest levels of sa'adat.
Yeah, prosperity.
And the enemies of insan, like you just mentioned, the enemies of, for example, the batil of today, for example.
Yeah, the falsehood.
The shayateen of today.
Yeah.
They are going to the deepest levels down to shakawat.
Yeah.
So we have sa'adat, yeah, which is kamal.
Right.
A'la illiyin. Mm. And we have shakawat, which is asfalus safilin.
Mm. Yeah.
So, now moving forward, I don't know how much time we have.
Yeah, probably like maybe 10 minutes or so.
Okay, so.
For at least for this session, it was quite heavy.
Okay, mashallah. It was quite heavy.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, inshallah. So, now before moving on to that, because you had just, you know, given a trailer of sa'adat and shakawat and kamal, mm-hmm, I need to move forward to that. But before moving forward, I need to make one more muqaddamati point over, prerequisite point over here.
Yeah, this foundational point.
Is that, see, since our since we are not habitual of reading and studying the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, as I mentioned, we have 16,000 ahadith in Al-Kafi, and we have more than like 100 volumes of Bihar al-Anwar.
Allama Majlisi.
Allama Majlisi, rahmatullah alayhi, and Sheikh Kulaini, rahmatullah alayhi. That is why our concept of imamat is, I would not say 10% incomplete or naqis. I would say
it's much more
70
than
or more than 70% incomplete. That is why there are many misconceptions regarding the existence of imam, the wujud of imam, and the system of imamat.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Now, I would like to quote one hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, and this hadith would act as a prerequisite to understand the reality of the wujud of imam. And then from the next session, inshallah, if Allah gives us more life, we will move on to the philosophy of ghaibat, which is related to this hadith. Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam, it's such a long hadith, and the hadith starts from this story that, you know, Hazrat Salman alayhi salam, Salman al-Farsi, rahmatullah alayhi, he was sitting at a place or inside his house. Abu Zar, rahmatullah alayhi, he comes to Hazrat Salman and he asks him, "Oh Salman, I need to ask you one question over here. Can you tell me what is the meaning of the Nuraniyat and the lightness of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam?"
Abu Zar is asking
Salman al-Farsi. Salman al-Farsi said, "See, you know, Imam Ali alayhi salam is over here. Let's go and ask him." "Okay, I don't want to answer. Let both of us go and ask him."
"Yeah, we go ask Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Okay, it's better." Okay. So, then over here,
talking about the luminosity and the nuraniyat of Imam
over here,
Ali
when Salman and Abu Zar, rahmatullah alayhima, they come at the service at in the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Imam Ali alayhi salam is the governor at that time. ثم قال عليه السلام يا سلمان ويا جندب. Okay, this is Imam Ali alayhi salam saying, "Ya Salman, ya Jundab," yani ya Abu Zar. They both say, "Labbaik ya Amir al-Mu'mineen." Then Imam says, "Innahu la yastakmilu ahadun al-Iman." No person in this world is such that his Iman and faith will reach to its completeness
without
this. Hatta ya'rifani kunha ma'rifati bin nuraniya. Until and unless they don't recognize me with which aspect of myself?
This
with
luminosity.
The nurani and luminosity aspect of my wujud. This learning and, you know, acting upon it is part of the faith and iman of a mu'min.
And what is, I mean, even though the statement itself is really powerful, but what I they didn't come and ask anything from Imam Ali alayhi salam. They didn't say and come, you know.
No, I skipped that part.
Oh, did you skip that part? That was an important part because I was like, you know,
I skipped that part,
okay.
Because of the limitation of the time, okay. So they ask, we want to learn about your Nuraniyat and all that, okay. And this is where Imam replies.
You can't cut traditions like that, Sheikh. Okay.
See, this whole book, this
is
tradition,
that one tradition.
This tradition is up around like 5 to 10 pages.
Yeah, mashallah.
Okay. So, see, we want to talk about Ghaibat, okay?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
We
yeah.
want to reach to that philosophy of Ghaibat, and this hadith yeah. will be the muqaddimah of that.
Yeah.
Now,
so he says that nobody's faith is complete without this ma'rifah.
Without the ma'rifah and the recognition, and recognition. Of the, you know, of the peak level of my nuraniyat. Imam alayhi salam is not talking about the nuraniyat of Allah.
Yeah,
why?
Sure, yeah.
Because no one can reach to that nuraniyat of Allah at its absolute level. It's only the Imam who can do that, okay? It's only the Ahlul Bayt who can reach to that level of recognition of ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Imam alayhi salam, he says, فَإِذَا عَرَفَنِي بِهَذِهِ الْمَعْرِفَةِ If you recognize and gain that ma'rifat of me with this ma'rifat nurani, فَقَدْ إِمْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ لِلْإِيمَانِ This is where Allah will examine this mu'min.
And their faith
that's وَشَّرَحَ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَصَارَ عَارِفًا مُسْتَبْصِرًا This person will be the arif. He will be the, you know, mystic over here.
And his heart will be opened up with Islam.
Yes, exactly. وَمَنْ قَسَرَ Now, this is dangerous now. وَمَنْ قَسَرَ عَنْ مَعْرِفَةِ ذَلِكَ If someone, you know, he shows, you know, laziness and, you know, gaining this ma'rifat.
Sure, yeah.
فَهُوَ شَاكٌ وَمُرْتَابٌ This person will always be in doubt in his iman. And one of the alamats and the signs of Akhirul Zaman
is this increase.
That people, the doubt of the mu'mineen related to Imam Zamana alayhi salam, related to the wilayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, this level of this ratio of doubtness will increase day by day because of the fitnas occurring in Akhir al-Zaman.
Yeah. Allahu Akbar.
So this is a dangerous Imam alayhi salam. You learn, you gain my ma'rifat. Without my ma'rifat, your iman is not guaranteed.
It's incomplete. And you had said that approximately 70% is what we don't know, is a misunderstanding of the imams.
That is why, this is my last point inshallah, that is why there's a hadith of Akhir al-Zaman, of Zuhur, that when Imam Zaman alayhi salam, he appears, in the morning he will, you know, cry out loud, he will say it loud, that I have appeared, I'm Imam, I'm the Mahdi, okay? The hadith says, after 6 hours, at the time of Zuhr, there will be 11 more cries.
In opposition to
Imam Zaman. No, we are the rightful version of religion. That's bring right. iman to us. And the hadith says, when these 11, you know, voices. Cries occur, many of the mu'mineen, they will leave Imam Zamana, and when they will enter the camp of these deviated individuals. Why? Because of the lack of iman and ma'rifat in the time of Ghaibat, which they could have learned, studied, acted upon it, but they didn't because of the laziness. So inshallah, we will,
if
Allah helps us, inshallah, we will talk about the philosophy of Ghaibat. Inshallah.
Sheikh Hani, thank you so much for taking time out. Very interesting subject. Overall, I believe we should have 2 or 3, if not 4 sessions, today being the first session, on how this is the era of opportunity and it is a golden era, this era of the ghibah of the 12th divinely appointed Imam, may Allah hasten his reappearance. A good fundamental and foundations that we built. And inshallah, we hope to have you on another talk show.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, dear viewers, for joining us on the talk show. We were talking about some fundamentals and some prerequisites in order to understand how this era of the occultation of the 12th divinely appointed Imam alayhi salam is a golden era, inshallah. That's all from us for now. Fi amanullah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.